Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the show. It is a Friday morning. I thought earlier it was a Thursday, which is weird. But when you have a day off in the middle of the week, it really throws you off. But it is January 3rd of 2025. Welcome into the program this morning. And everybody seems focused on the weather, what it's going to look like on Monday for those of us who have to come to work. No matter what nature throws at us between Saturday night and Monday morning. But we've got Dave Murray on a little later to kind of straighten it all out. He's going to, you know, it makes you wait every year for that winter weather forecast. We're not going to make you wait for this one. You're at about 8:35 this morning. We will get to Dave Murray on the radio explaining to you directly, not in the recorded thing he does, what he thinks is going to happen and the timing on this and who's going to get what. We'll kind of nail it all down because I know Kim is particularly nervous about this.
I really am.
Do you have enough milk and bread to sustain the family?
Absolutely not.
It's a problem.
I don't really drink milk much.
And yeah, but you gotta
really
have it.
We don't really eat bread either. But that's what's funny. We don't really buy milk. Like, I might have almond milk at my house every now and then.
How do you get milk out of an almond?
Come on now, Mark.
Go ahead.
He was waiting for the ba-dum-bum-tsh. See, but Carl is going to give you probably the ba-dum-bum-tsh. Ethan's not. That's more like it.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Best I can do.
Well, anyway, it's just funny to me because I feel like people who don't even really typically have bread in their house or have a gallon of milk at their house, all of a sudden when it's going to snow, you think, I have to have milk and bread.
Well, it's because you got to make French toast. When it snows,
I do love French toast. Is that what happens
get
in
those big
Cox household?
Those big, well, if breakfast gets made, I'm the one that makes it, I'll just point out. My wife is not a big breakfast person. She just doesn't eat it. Therefore, she sees no reason to cook it. So if it gets cooked, I cook it. Like on Christmas morning, I'm the one that made the biscuits and the gravy. And the eggs and the sausage and all that went with it. I did it personally, just so you know.
Good job, Mark.
Now, it was a little thicker than I would have liked. I'm my own worst critic when I make my gravy, but it tasted delicious. It was kind of paste. It was kind of thick like paste. I should have put more milk in
thick
it.
Thick like paste.
Well, I needed more milk in
fantastic.
It. I didn't. It was delicious. The taste was there. It was just
kind
too
of
thick.
Like cement, you know, in your mouth. But darn, it tasted great.
It stuck with me all day. That's the good thing about it.
Still
I wasn't hungry
still
all day.
Still have a little bit now. A week later, you
yeah,
can taste it.
Exactly.
Stuck
Thank
to the
you.
Roof of your
Thank
mouth.
You. Yeah. And therefore, I will never make you any biscuits and gravy, Kim.
Thank you for that.
Making fun of my cooking abilities.
You're a good
cook. They're somewhat limited. But yeah, if you're gonna make French toast, you have to get those thicker slices of bread. Like that's what really makes it good. And then you can stuff it, put a little bit of, strawberries or something in it, a little bit of cream cheese around the outside of it, and stick the bread together, and then you dip it in the milk and egg mixture to kind of seal it up, and then you cook it like that, and you can have stuffed French toast.
That sounds
so
amazing.
Good. I know. So I'm looking forward to Monday. I mean, I'll be here. I won't be home cooking, but I'm looking forward to Monday when everybody else is making breakfast at home, looking outside at the weather. It was looking at me like, how did this conversation get off track?
I'm looking forward to driving in with however many inches of snow we have. Or
me neither.
Ice. Ice is really where I get nervous. I can handle a couple inches of snow. I lived in Iowa for a while. When you start throwing ice into the mix, I'm out because it is so scary when you hit that patch, especially when it's dark out and you can't really see what's going on. And all of a sudden your wheels are spinning.
Yep. The Cox Uber is available on a Monday morning.
I might be taking advantage.
Just for you. All right. We got lots to get to. Ignore all of the TV station trucks parked out on the overpasses this morning by MoDOT. I saw them as I was driving in, so I know they're all reporting on preps on the streets. Coming up, we got Beavis Shock, local attorney extraordinaire, who's going to comment on this decision of who has the right to appoint the county prosecutor. Is it a predominantly statewide state position? That seems to be the question, because it is a law enforcement officer effectively, and that's the way the courts ruled so far, in the favor of the state. And Sam Page is continuing to waste a lot of taxpayer money to somehow try to get the Supreme Court to agree with him. We'll find out the latest on that from Beavis. I got to check a business at the bottom of the hour. In other news, at about 6:45 this morning, Congressman Eric Burleson in the next hour on the speaker's race. But right now, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
First and foremost, let me be very clear about this point. This was an act of terrorism. It was premeditated and an evil act.
Yes, thank you. That is Christopher Rea on the New Orleans terror attack, and I'm glad that they finally reached that very important conclusion.
You know, President Trump's absolutely right. What does our intelligence community focus on? What's the FBI focus on? White supremacists. You know, housewives going to school board meetings. They're not focused on keeping the American people safe.
Yeah. KT McFarland on maybe some of the changes that may be coming when we have a new director of the FBI whose last name is not Ray.
Speaker Johnson, why are they so undecided before this election? One day before the election, why are they so undecided?
People are talking through process changes they want and those kinds of things, and I'm open to that, and I think tomorrow's going to go well.
What's your message to the other side?
All right. Yep. Here's Speaker Johnson yesterday. He's been working it. He's been offering all kinds of deals, apparently, to make sure everybody's on board. He really can't afford to lose more than two votes, I believe.
You can pull all my fingernails out. You can shove bamboo up in them. You can start cutting off my fingers. I am not voting for Mike Johnson.
Well, that settles that. There's one vote down, and that's Thomas Massie. He's the congressman from the Commonwealth of Kentucky who said, I'm not voting for him no matter what. He was actually on TV with Matt Gaetz yesterday, who, of course, led the revolt against Kevin McCarthy 2 years ago. And he's hardcore no. He said, I don't trust him. I don't think he's going to do what's in the best interest. Listen, I've heard the football analogy that if the whole team is going this way and you're the player going this way, you're not a team player. And I think that fits in a lot of cases. I have empathy for people like Thomas Massie and Eric Burleson and Chip Roy and some of the others who voted no against that continuing resolution and who are pissed off because of it. I understand how they feel. I really do. That said, in this particular case, I don't know why anybody would vote against Mike Johnson, because all you're doing is screwing Donald Trump and the agenda that we all worked so hard to get enacted under a Trump administration. That cannot happen if we don't have a speaker. If this goes on 5 days past January 6th, Congress won't be able to they won't be able to count the electors and certify the election. None of it makes any sense to me as to why Massie is being such a hardhead on this. I feel his pain. I understand why he's mad, but at some point you have to see the forest for the trees, and I don't think he's seeing that. We'll talk to Eric Burleson about it coming up at 7:35 and see how he's going to vote on the whole thing. Next, we're going to get to Beavis Shock. We'll talk about who will be sworn in today as the county prosecutor in St. Louis County. We'll be back in just a minute. It's not clear to me just exactly how much money Sam Page is willing to spend to try to somehow prove that he's right in this situation with the county prosecutor's office, but he's lost twice now, it appears to me, and is still planning to fight this thing, maybe to the Missouri Supreme Court. We've asked Beavis Shock from shocklaw.com to join us this morning to talk a little more about that. Beavis, good morning to you.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Mark?
I can hear you. Yeah, it sounds like you're in court already.
No, I'm walking out of my Starbucks so I go outside so I can hear you without background more.
Did you get us a drink that you're planning to drop off?
I'll bring it right over.
Perfect.
We appreciate that, Beavis. I always appreciate your willingness to join us early because I know you're up getting your coffee each morning.
I am. Reading my Wall Street Journal and U-City Loop. Great place.
Absolutely.
Crazy homeless people and stuff. It's just fantastic over here. You can't imagine the difference between the U-City Loop and the Clayton elegance that my friend calls it Maine. In Maine, it's Central and Forsyth. I mean, everybody's in there with a suit on looking all serious and stuff. But Melissa Smith is in there this morning with a smile on her face because she's getting sworn in at 11 o'clock sharp, which is the same moment that Wes Bell will get sworn in Washington at noon his time. So
yes.
We're moving forward.
It looks like it. So you weren't surprised by this decision by the court yesterday?
Well, I told you on the radio 3 weeks ago that it took 10 minutes for me to look up the answer to the question. And I was correct. I mean, I could have been wrong, I guess. But see, here's the way this thing works. The court issued an 8-page opinion, and basically, I'm going to explain just a second about the structure of our government. We have a tic-tac-toe board. So that we have legislative, executive, and judicial on the federal and state level, right? Those are the three branches across. Then up and down, the three levels are the federal government, the state government, and the local government. So what this thing came down to was, could the local government, the lowest level, appoint this position, or would it be at the state level? Well, see, you think about it. The law says the governor can appoint the prosecuting attorney unless the law says otherwise. But the law is that the local government only is in charge of local stuff. And so condemnation and little things. But the position of prosecuting attorney, I mean, every single prosecuting case prosecuted says it to stop state of Missouri versus schmuck perp. And here's the deal. The prosecutor is a function of the state. It's
yes.
not a local thing. And that's what that's what the opinion said. They've already asked the Supreme Court to hear the case. I mean, that's already in the file. I looked at it this morning. I don't know whether it was filed late yesterday or early this morning, but they probably had it written before they got the opinion. They knew they were going to lose.
How much money has Sam Page wasted here to do this, to take it to court, because he's so mad that he didn't win?
So his attorney's named Neil Perryman. Neil is a real respected guy. I've had cases with him. Very honorable man. I'm sure he said, I'm thinking of a number. Can I say one more thing that actually is really important about this?
Please.
Here's the main thing. You got me 30 more seconds?
Oh, absolutely. You got plenty of time.
Think about it. If we had it the other way and we had a corrupt county executive, who's going to prosecute him? He's going to assassinate the prosecuting attorney, appoint his own guy, and he'll be immune from, or he won't be immune, but the new person he appoints won't prosecute him. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to have a guy who could be subject to prosecution by the prosecutor appoint the prosecutor. That's nuts.
Good point. I
yeah.
mean, look at Steve Stanger and what happened with that whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a corrupt dude. Now, the feds went after him.
Yeah,
that's
so
true.
That's another thing to understand about structure of government. You know, I could talk about this for hours. I'm sure it would interest every single listener. But it really is important to understand that it's good to have two kind of prosecuting entities. The federal government prosecutes perps and the state prosecute perps. Because if a state official does something, that person is all tied up in the politics of the county. That's how they got their position. And so there really isn't a lot of incentive to go after the guy. That's why the federal government, the main prosecutor for the federal government for local corruption is named Hal Goldsmith. When Hal Goldsmith calls you and says, have your attorney call me, sir, you know you got a problem.
Yeah, I've met Hal before. Yeah.
Hal is a real, real good guy, and he is quite a prosecutor. So Anyway, the whole point of this thing is that I guess if there was local corruption, the feds could get after it. But it's better to have your county officials appointed, the people who work in the county, but for major state government functions, need to be appointed by the state government.
Yeah. So are you as baffled as I am then that he would expect a different outcome from the Supreme Court? Do you think the Supreme Court will even agree to hear the case?
I don't think they'll hear it. They might, but they'll probably just affirm. I can't imagine they do it any other. The state court said, "Hey, this looks like it's pretty cut and dried, but it is kind of a slight some new nuances in the thing." So the Supreme Court may weigh it. I would say this guy Van Ostrom, who Page wanted to appoint, quit his job when he got the notice that he was going to get appointed. Well, he may not be smart enough to be prosecuting attorney in St. Louis County. I assume he'll get his job back.
Well, did he work for Hal Goldsmith? That's a good question.
I don't think Hal would have him on his team.
But, and he already had a temporary office, right? Wasn't Page setting him up with some space in the county building? So I guess he had to clear that out for Melissa to move her stuff in.
Well, she's going to get the big office, yes. So...
Yeah, it's coming.
She's getting the one in the corner. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Beavis, enjoy that coffee this morning, my friend. We appreciate your input on all this.
Fun to talk to you guys. Call me anytime. It's great to be on your radio show. Bye-bye.
We'll do it. Talk to you later. Beavis Shock, shocklaw.com. He's cracking me up there.
Well, we'll see him this morning when he drops our coffee off.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah,
he said he'll be here shortly.
Bring that downtown. Maybe that's where News Channel 5 is looking, over there in the Central West End somewhere, in big sprawling lot they could find with some private parking.
People would love that. It would just be very expensive, I would guess.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But they say they're gonna stay in the city. So we'll see what happens. I'm still surprised they're not looking for a spot in the county. It, just like I'm surprised Sam Page is wasting your taxpayer money by continuing to appeal this, because I don't know what the billable hours are for that attorney Beavis was talking about, but I'm sure it's not cheap to pay his hourly rate to appeal something that's been a slam dunk at both court decisions so far in favor of Mike Parson for as long as he remains governor, which I guess is till the 13th when the new governor is sworn in down in Jeff City. All right, quick break here. We'll get to a check of business with Nicole Murray coming up in just a few minutes. And in other news at about 6:45, we'll be right back. Found out the other day that what he's talking about in that song is his own mother. I always swore it was Mary, Jesus' mother. I always thought that. I swear I did. I just read the other day that he dreamed about his mom coming to him in a dream and telling him something important, and that's why he wrote that song. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
You probably always wondered that, didn't you, Kim?
I did. I'm so glad you cleared that up.
I mean, if Carl Middleman's here, he'd be looking at me like, of course that's what
everyone
he was talking about.
Everyone knew that, Kim.
Everybody
knew
that.
You're the only one who didn't know that.
But Carl's not here this morning, so I have to be your rock music historian briefly. And I just found that out yesterday, or a couple days ago. I was reading that. That's pretty funny. Anyway, let's get to Nicole Murray, please. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
It's Friday. Short week.
First business. First business cast of 2025.
That's right. You know, we've got a big snowstorm headed this way, and that's all people here are focused on. They're worried about Monday at this point. They're skipping Friday and they're looking ahead to Monday because some of the kids. My daughter's still out of school. She's not supposed to start school till Tuesday of next week.
Wow.
Which is probably a good thing, because my guess is any school that's open here Monday will probably be closed. They're talking about 8 or 12 inches of snow just to the north of St. Louis.
Woo! We're only getting like an inch or two where I'm at, so it won't be nearly as bad, but just enough snow to be a pain.
Yep, of course. It never fails. Most of it's going to hit Saturday night into Sunday, so just screw up some church services on Sunday. No doubt about that.
We'll stay safe.
Yeah, we will. What's going on out there?
So futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 151, the NASDAQ down 30, and the S&P 500 down 13. Tesla said its China sales rose 8.8% to a record high of more than 657,000 cars in 2024, a strong performance in a competitive market in a year when its annual global deliveries fell for the first time. In 2024, Tesla delivered nearly 37% of its cars to customers in China, its second largest market, based on the sales figures. Shipments to China of foreign-branded smartphones, which does include Apple's iPhone, fell by roughly 47% in November from a year earlier, government data shows. Calculations from the China Academy of Information and Communications Technology says that foreign brand shipments decreased to roughly 3 million units from roughly 5.7 million units a year earlier. President Biden has decided to block Nippon Steel's $14.9 billion takeover bid of U.S. Steel that was reported on by The Washington Post. The White House is expected to announce Biden's decision as soon as today. Skydance Media and Paramount Global are defending their planned $8.4 billion merger, urging the FCC to dismiss opposition from critics, calling them unwarranted and meritless. The Center for American Rights petitioned the FCC in December to block the merger, citing concerns about foreign influence on U.S. media stemming from China's Tencent Holdings investment in Skydance. Apple TV Plus is offering a three-day promotion for those wanting to stream shows and movies. The platform is offering free access to all users starting today and ending Sunday in honor of the new year. And finally, researchers have found that dogs really do like that silly, high-pitched voice their owners use to talk to them. This is because the communication style mirrors the soothing tones puppies would hear from their mothers.
No kidding. So when my daughter comes in and goes, oh, little baby, and she collapses on the floor talking to the dog appreciates that.
The dog loves it.
I feel like these studies are just so that it makes you feel better about what you're already doing.
Because nobody knows what the dog thinks.
No
How
way,
can you know what the dog thinks?
Well, there's ways to know what a dog is feeling based on what their tail is doing, what their face is doing. I mean, I personally would love it if someone talked to me like this. Like, oh, you beautiful thing, best journalist ever.
Come here, little Nicole.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's how somebody talked to you when you were a puppy?
Well, I'm just saying, puppy or not, you wouldn't like someone giving you compliments like that all the time?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Well, but it's more the tone, I thought. It's the high-pitched tone, like, you're so cute.
Yeah, but you're usually saying sweet stuff right along with it.
You're so ugly.
You big pain in the butt.
That would make it...
It softens the blow if you do it in that voice.
Noted. All right.
There you go.
Keep that in mind for future broadcasts.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Nice. Hey, have a great weekend.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Talk to you Monday. We may be snowed in, but we'll talk to you Monday. I see people online are saying on Facebook that Ron wrote in here that his wife's work has already scheduled off for Monday. And
nice.
Some places are saying just transfer the phones and work from home. Think we could do that?
I would love that.
What do you think, Ethan? No, not going to work?
No.
Somebody's got to be sitting where you're sitting
exactly.
to push the buttons.
Well, it sounds like Ethan could come in. You and I could work for
him.
Oh,
I volunteer as tribute.
Well, I'll point something out here that of the two people in the studio here who carry the title of host, only one of us has the ability to work from home because they never gave me the equipment. But
wow.
Kim, on the other hand, has the equipment at home where she could broadcast from home.
Thank you for reminding me about that.
Where's that bias coming in there?
Looks I'll see you guys
equipment.
On Tuesday then.
Yes, indeed. Mark will have to be down here. I'll just put it in four low and I'll power on through.
Might take us an hour to get here, but we'll
get
here.
That's right. We'll kick the diesel into high gear and power through Monday morning. Don't you worry. This story came to my attention from the Webster Groves School District. If you're not paying attention to what's going on in our schools, shame on you. Number one, we have lost St. Louis County. Just so you know, when I collectively say we, I mean people with common sense. It may be time to leave St. Louis County. If you live there, it may just be time to throw in the towel and leave. We all know that Webster Groves is crazy progressive. It's headed that way. We've known that for a while. Kirkwood, same way. But here's what's happening in your schools. They've hired a new superintendent in the Webster Grove School District. This is coming from a I was alerted to it from a post on Twitter by Corey DeAngelis. Jana Parker, it says here, has been announced the next superintendent of the Webster Groves School District. He went to the trouble of digging up some of the recent tweets from the new incoming superintendent of the Webster Grove School District. I'll just read a couple of them to you, but the highlights are white fragility is everywhere. Now, Jana Parker appears to be a white female, clearly, you know, has the weight of the world on her shoulders as a white progressive liberal. White fragility is everywhere. It's time for white people to understand their whiteness. And Dr. Seuss was a racist. These are just a couple of the deep thoughts of the new superintendent who's coming into the Webster Grove School District. I hope you're proud of that. And if your kids go there, you should be deeply concerned that your Board of Education would make a decision like this. Here's one of the tweets from Jana Parker. No one becomes not racist despite a tendency by Americans to identify themselves in that way. We can only strive to be anti-racist on a daily basis, to continually rededicate ourselves to the lifelong task of overcoming our country's racist heritage. This individual is going to be in charge of your child's education if you live in Webster Groves. It's embarrassing. White fragility is everywhere, but does anti-racism training work? A training institute or workshop will never be enough. Here's another one. This is from June of last year. It's time for white people to understand their whiteness. Here's one from June of this year in Kirkwood, Missouri. As a white educator, we have a responsibility to not be colorblind. While you may think the intent is positive, the impact has significant consequences. And here's probably the deepest thought by Jack Handy here. Kids are not falling behind. Kids are not losing learning. Nothing deeply learned is ever really lost. Losing or behind is simply accepting our measurement of kids against a white, upper-middle-class, neurotypical ableist.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this might be the most woke human being I've ever met in my life, and they've just hired her at, what, a couple of hundred grand a year, I'm sure, to be the superintendent of the Webster Groves School District.
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, look where Kirkwood's gone, Webster Groves. In fact, Kirkwood's getting a new superintendent, and that is the current superintendent
from Francis Howell,
which is very odd to me.
Yes.
Probably because there's been controversy with the bathrooms and the locker rooms and everything in Francis Howell. And he's like, I'm getting the heck out of here and going to Kirkwood, where that nonsense is more accepted, where people who think they're girls, even though they're actually biological boys, can use the locker room or the bathroom and they're not going to get as much pushback.
That's exactly what I suspect is the reason that he left. Plus, he's going to be making probably 250 grand a year. It probably pays more. I mean, I don't know all the reasons behind it, but you need to understand that the bias in schools comes from the very top. People do not get promoted to the position of superintendent or assistant superintendent or any of these assistant positions unless they are completely woke these days. And it filters down to what your child is taught in class. And if you live in Webster, I feel sorry for you. I really do, that they're going to be subjected to that crap. All right, coming up, we're going to get to any other news with Kim this morning in just a couple of minutes. We got Congressman Eric Burleson coming up next hour to find out how he's going to vote today when Congress elects a Speaker of the House. We'll be back in just a minute.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Well, some sad news to pass along. Wayne Osmond, known for his role in the iconic Osmond Family, has died at the age of 73. That's pretty young. He's the brother of Donnie and Marie, of course, the stars of the 1970s variety show Donnie and Marie. And he sang with his brothers in the barbershop group known as the Osmonds. Wayne's family says he had a massive stroke and died on Wednesday, which would have been New Year's Day.
I grew up watching the Osmonds. That makes me sad. I wish you wouldn't say the 70s. Just say the Donnie and Marie show.
Really, really long ago. Billions of years
I'm not laughing at the guy's death. I remember him, the other Osmond. It's sort of like the Jacksons, right? Michael was the one out front, but all the brothers were in the background and sisters. But the same with the Osmonds. And didn't they have a show in Branson for a while?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
they had ties to Andy Williams, and Andy Williams had the show in Branson, so it would make sense that they had some connection
and
there, too.
And it might have been minus Donnie, but I think some of the Osmond brothers had performances in Branson for a while. He might have been down there.
They just seem to be the nicest people.
Yeah, they
all
really
of
did.
Them. So I'm really sorry to hear that.
Apple has agreed to pay out $95 million to settle a 5-year class action lawsuit. This lawsuit stems from a 2019 report that Apple quality control contractors could hear sensitive information that had accidentally been recorded when people would say on their phones, and I'm sorry, "Hey Siri." The clips apparently included medical information, criminal activity, and even in some cases, I'm sorry, my phone's going off right now as I say that, and even in some cases, sexual encounters.
Oh my gosh.
Apple users who are part of this class action lawsuit could get a whopping $20. It says up to $20, so maybe you only get 10.
I know it's a class action suit, but I wonder what proof they had that Apple was listening in.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, a bigger problem is many people have smart TVs that listen to what you're saying as well. Yeah. So whether you know it or not.
Well, yeah, because you are looking at something or you're watching a commercial, and then it's almost as if your phone's picking up whatever you're watching on TV, and then that advertisement pops up on your feed.
Yeah, don't you just assume that everything in your house is listening?
You should.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
You should.
I agree. Heads up, bags of broccoli sold by Walmart are being recalled in 20 states, including Illinois, over listeria concerns. The recall involves 12-ounce bags of washed, ready-to-eat, market-side broccoli florets. The potentially contaminated broccoli is past the best-if-used-by date. It was December 10th, but they're saying even though it's no longer in stores, people, I guess, may have frozen at the broccoli for later use. The good news is no illnesses have been reported. But how many times have we been talking about listeria, E. coli? Every week, it's a new recall.
Yeah, you'd think we'd be past this. It's odd.
Well, I don't know what else you can do. I mean, I'm glad I'm not a lazy broccoli eater. We usually buy the big spears of it, and you cut it up ourselves at Schnucks or Deerberg's or wherever we happen to have shopped that day. But still, I saw an ad the other day. It's funny because I was probably talking about this, and then this ad popped up. Some lady selling something you can squirt on your vegetables that's supposed to clean them.
Yeah.
Well, they say use vinegar and something else. Soak it.
Like
fruits and vegetables to get all the nasty stuff off.
Broccoli will never harm me. I will not eat it.
Oh, there you go.
I should share the picture I found of what was noted on my broccoli from a very nice store.
Oh.
It was a bug. And I had cooked it and washed it. It's still there.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Heads up, if you have travel plans this year, you will be required to have that Real ID in order to fly as of May 7th. That's even on domestic flights. We've been talking about this for how long, but the enforcement of it has been delayed for years, in part, I think, because of COVID. You also could be required to show that Real ID to enter some federal buildings.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I hope people paid attention. Missouri fought this forever and ever and ever and finally gave in. I went ahead and did it, 6 months ago, whenever my license was up the last time.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Really not that much of a hassle to get it done, but some people feel like they're giving up too much. But pretty soon you're not going to be able to go to the airport with your driver's license. You can still take your passport with you and get away with it, but I don't know.
Well, I was one document short. When I went to renew my license, I'd forgotten about the Real ID, and they asked if I wanted to do that. Well, you need, I guess, a little bit more documentation for the Real ID. So heads up, it is not the same as what you would typically need. I did not know that, so I do not have one yet. All right, last one, and that is, speaking of traveling, of flying, a recent survey finds more women plan to travel solo this year. I have some girlfriends who have done this. The survey from Future Partners finds nearly 40% of women are considering a solo trip in 2025. And just for some perspective, that's up 8% from last year. One travel group based out of Colorado says its service are particularly popular among older women. They're doing a lot of these adventure traveling.
Are they single? or are they just leaving their husbands at home?
It's both.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, dang, I better check in with the wife on that.
Michelle, are you listening? Are you planning some solo trips?
She's already learned to haul the camper all over the place. She didn't really need me anymore. Holy cow. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Congressman Eric Burleson about the vote in a few hours for a new U.S. House Speaker.
Get more at 971talk.com.